Hey, welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Just incredible privilege to introduce to you what someone's growing to be a great friend, Dino Rizzo, and that last name, Rizzo. What do y'all mean? Well, you know what that means, right? You can feel it, can't you? Say Italian, don't you feel God's presence in the room when you say that? Dino pioneered and pastored a great church in Louisiana, the Healing Place, and I mean thousands of people, campuses all over the city, and then now he is currently the executive director of ARC, the Association of Related Churches, and as we're involving ourselves as a church in being an ARC church and helping fund that and serving it any way we can, ARC is to me the most prolific church planting organization in this nation. And it's such an honor to be a part of it. Not only is he leading ARC, but he also has led Serve Day in such a way across the nation that literally hundreds of thousands of people are involved in Serve Day across the nation, even around the world, through his leadership. And I'm just so honored that he would be here with us. And you're going to get to know Dino more through the years. But sometimes when you've never got to hear someone, you really don't know who they are. You don't know necessarily the privilege you're getting. And one of the most impactful people on, I believe, in the kingdom of God, you're going to get to hear today. And so we're so grateful. He's also on staff at Church of the Highlands, one of the great churches of this nation. And so, man, I'm telling you, God's using him in mighty ways. And it's such an honor to have him here today with us. And so as he makes his way up right now, would you just stand with me and give him a great big welcome and thank Dino for coming. Man, give him an Italian welcome. Come on, man. Praise God. Amen.
All right, all right. Come on, let's clap our hands for Jesus. One more time. It's all about him. God, what an honor. Thank you, Pastor. You can be seated. Thanks a lot. That's awesome, awesome. And what an honor it is to be here. And, of course, those watching online, thanks a lot for being a part of Victory. And it is an amazing thing to be able to be a part of this house and all that you're doing, watching the Serve Day video. You just got so fired up. It's something else when we give our city our best. And we give our cities and our neighborhoods and our communities our best with the message of Jesus Christ, which I know that is the heartbeat of every bit of serve that we do, that we have done, and that we'll continue to do. So thanks a lot for being a part of that. There's about 1,000 churches across the globe who are part of Serve Day last week, and another 100 this weekend that worked it out this weekend. And so it's neat to see what can happen when we're the hands and feet of Jesus. Can I have a good amen? And I just believe it continues to grow in our hearts as we not only have a great Serve Day, but we kind of changed that hashtag from Serve Day 19 right after it to, and I know at Church of the Highlands and some other great churches like this, to Serve Day every day. And we'll talk a little bit about that. So just fantastic things that are happening. I love being here. I love what God is doing here at Victory, and the heart that you have to do everything possible to help people to discover and experience the love of God, which just makes sense to me because I just feel like that's the church at its best, helping people to understand, to be embraced, to realize God's love, and to see that take place in their life as they connect relationally with other people, which you do here through small groups, and as you make an impact. And I love how Pastor John was talking about those next steps for you, all those different ways. I showed up in church, didn't know anything. We were not raised in church. I'm from a little community called Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and my dad was, come on, good Italian beach tourism salesman, and so we were selling airbrush t-shirts and puka shells. Come on, somebody. Then puka shells sent me to Bible college, and thank you very much for buying those. And so we worked the weekends. I never remember waking up on a Sunday morning saying, get dressed for church. And so thank God for a church that had an outreach and a church that had an idea to go outside the walls of their church. And I was reached through outreach, and I showed up in a church, and I'm so glad they provided me a pathway. They showed me some steps to take, which you do here at Victory, which are so important. I got involved with a small group. I don't think I'd be here today if it wasn't for a small group of finding a relationship, because I not only had issues. How many know when you go through those seasons where your issues got issues? And so I had a lot of issues going on in my life. And so thank God for a church that was patient and that was grace-filled and was helping me to understand the love of God. That's what this house is all about. And especially as you expand another campus, and that happens through generosity. This is a church that's known through generosity. You have a reputation, and your reputation precedes you, which is a reputation of generosity. You give around the world through missions. You make a difference locally through helping all the different partnerships. So thanks a lot for being a generous house, and I like that. And it's just great to get to know your pastors, John and Michelle. Just awesome, awesome. Their daughters are at school in Birmingham. And, of course, Steve and Dana have gotten to know you guys, and your daughter's there helping us. And so it's just a great. How many of you got great pastors and great leaders? Can we clap our hands for our pastors and honor them? It's been great to get to know Pastor John. Of course, Steve, we've spent a lot of time talking about the kingdom of God. We're going to do some things together. They're big leaders. They have big hearts. They love you. They love God. They love people. And we're going to plant churches and reach people and expand the kingdom and make an impact together. So you may see me more than today. I may be like one of those cousins who show up and they say they stay in 2 days. 3 weeks later, you have to call the police. And so kind of come on from the dirty south. That's how we roll. In the dirty south, and I'm one of those guys who make myself at home, and I feel so at home here because we feel like we're family. And I will make myself at home. I will show up at your house. I will sit on your furniture. I will get in your refrigerator. I will use your toilet. I ain't scared. And so I'm old, and I enjoy myself these days. I'm 55. Somebody today told me 55 is a new 35. I said, no, it's not. It's 55. And so, and I love it, because when you're old, you just go to sleep when you want, you can say what you want. Sometimes I walk in my house and say what I want and go straight to sleep. And so it's just great days to be alive. And we love this church, love this family. And we're just going to do some more things together. Last time I was here, your generosity opened the doors. There were hundreds of pastors here from this area that were learning and growing. And you, because of your faithful and your tithe, and you give offerings, and you're priority givers, and you're consistent in your giving, whether you go online or you do text or you give here. Well, you just opened up the best you had for pastors to let them know that they matter. So I just want to tell you the kind of church that you're in. And so bring you greetings from Birmingham, Alabama. We pastored in Louisiana for 20-something years, and then we've been there for 7 years. Church of the Highlands, a church like this, multiple locations, making an impact, growing the kingdom, a generous house. And then I also serve with ARC. We plant churches. We planted 842 churches the last 18 years because you say yes. I want you to hear this. Because you say yes to giving, and you say yes to being a kingdom builder, and you say yes to kingdom impact. We'll be planting 42 churches this fall, and I want you to know something. We can say yes to these couples because you say yes to generosity. And I just want to thank you for being a church that's helping us to plant more churches. And our family's doing well. Since I'm Italian, my wife is Cajun. I never speak or communicate without showing a picture of the family. Then we got a picture of the Rizzo family up here. It's our wedding. Our daughter just got married. And so that's our family. That's our daughter in the middle of McCall. She graduated from LSU as an LSU football fan, and she married a Roll Tide boy. So they're already having marriage tension at this point as we get ready for football season. That's Trey. That's my son-in-law. That's my son, Dylan. He serves up at the Hillsong Church in New York. And then that's our baby girl, Isabella. She graduated this year. She's a cheerleader. I'm a cheer dad. Man, I'm all about it, man. I will stomp it out. I will V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. I can lead a cheer dad small group right here at Victory. I mean, I'm all about being a cheer dad. And then that's my lovely wife, Delin. We've been married 30 years, and she's the best Christian I know. I married a strong woman. Oh, Lord have mercy. Strong, southern, sweet, cook your roast. But if you roll up in her front yard, she will fight you and get arrested. She is not scared. Strong woman. And so that's our family, and our family loves this family. And so it's an honor to be a part of this experience. And I want to come alongside the heartbeat of your pastors because you can see that through Serve Day. You hear it through generosity. We talk about it constantly, being the hands and feet of Jesus, expanding, building the kingdom. And I'll talk for a few minutes around the idea of above and beyond, above and beyond. So let's all pray together. Father, we love you, and I thank you for this amazing church. I thank you for the wonderful people. Lord, let every person know that they matter to you. Lord, we thank you for our pastors and the leadership team, just the worship experience and all that's happening with kids right now and even at the camp. Lord, as young people are having an encounter with you, thank you for that, Father. So, Lord, speak to us today. Lord, maybe we walked in with something heavy. Maybe there's something going on in our life, and we wonder if we can make a difference. We wonder if we matter. We wonder if there's any meaning that our life can be a part of. So help us today to live an above and beyond life, because I believe that's your plan and your will for us. So we love you. We love you. In Jesus' name, everybody said a good amen. I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, I'm glad you made it to church today. Come on, be friendly. Turn to the person that was your second choice. And as we say down in the South, say, you look like you could use a little church, my friend. Got to say church. You know, I was raised around the water, being raised in Myrtle Beach. I love to surf. I surfed a bunch and just love being in the ocean. And I always had a habit every time I went surfing or every time I went out to the ocean. When I was a teenager, I was in a whole lot better shape and I was a whole lot better athlete. I still am an incredible athlete, but it was even a little better in those days. I always did the same thing. I had a ritual. I had a habit. I don't know why I did it. I just started doing it because I enjoyed it. As soon as I got in the ocean, I would swim out. Most of the time I had my surfboard with me, so you felt safe. And I always go out as deep as I could because I loved getting wet and getting my hair wet in a deeper place. So I'd paddle out, and I'd get off my surfboard, or I'd swim out, and I'd want to go to a place that was past the sandbar where I couldn't touch, and I would go under and where, you know, there was really nothing below me, and there was nothing above me but water. And I always enjoyed that. It became a ritual every time I went to the beach. And I love that idea of wading into something that is above and beyond the natural or the sandbars of life. There's a scripture in 1 Timothy that I ran into a couple years ago that kind of brought me into that moment as it relates for God's will for our family, God's will for our life. It's one of those scriptures that when you wade into it, you realize that it is above and beyond the normal. It's above and beyond the natural. It's above and beyond the average that we, if we're not careful, we can stay on the sandbars of predictability. We can live on the sandbars of safety. We can live on the sandbar of selfishness. And this is one of those scriptures, as Paul is talking to Timothy, a young man who's leading people, who's trying to figure out life, who's trying to make a difference, who's trying to help other people. Paul is speaking to him, and he's helping him to push out a little bit, to push away from the shoreline, and to find a place in life, and to find a place in God, and to find a place in purpose where there's a little bit of above and beyond that you can live in. And here's what it says in 1 Timothy. It's at the latter part of the chapter of the book, chapter 6, verse 17. Paul is finishing the letter to Timothy, and he says, and this is a strong word, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth. How many feels like that was written in 2019? I mean, it's the same thing today. Yes, you got to be careful what you put your hope in, what you put your trust in, what you're looking to. He continues to say this. He says, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Nothing wrong with the blessing. Nothing wrong with having stuff. Nothing wrong with having things. Nothing wrong with having some shoes and a fan and a curling iron. Can I have a good amen? Man, my wife got a curling iron, a straightener, and one for Wednesday also. So we have several things. Nothing wrong with having things. How many knows the problem is when the things have you? That's what Paul's trying to tell Timothy. He's trying to help him understand what life is all about. And it goes on to say, command. There's that word again. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds. You ought to underline that or make a note of that. Rich in good deeds, to be generous, and I love this, and willing to share. Willing to share. Then he finishes with one of the most powerful statements that I think Paul ever wrote about life, ever wrote about purpose, ever wrote about meaning. He says this. In this way, not some other way, but in this way, they will lay up a treasure for themselves as that firm foundation for the coming age. And here's the phrase, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Because Paul's not wanting Timothy or the people that he's loving or the people that he's leading to take hold of life that's that fake life. Because if we're not careful, we can get a hold of fake life. We can get a hold of life that ain't real. We can go get a hold of life that's meaningful, life that does not sustain us, life that can hurt us, life that we think can bring us life, and it actually brings us loneliness. And Paul says to Timothy, there is a life that you can live, that you can take hold, that is truly life. Or when you begin to study this word, truly life, it actually means the fulfillment of life. It's the John 10:10. It's the abundant life. It's the above and beyond. It's the over and above life. Paul is warning that for Timothy. Paul is warning Timothy to get hold of that truth, to live over and above, a beyond life to everyone. You say, well, Dino, that's not me. I don't fit in that category because I'm not rich. I'm not there. I have limitations. I'm a single mom, or we're in a blended family, or I found myself in a situation, and so this can't happen to me because I really can't do that. I can't really make a difference like that. When in the first statement, command those who are rich, I took myself out of the story. You know what I found out? That every single one of us, no matter what stage we're in, no matter what place we're in our life, there is somebody right now, even in this region, that is less fortunate than you and I. No matter where you're at in your life right now, you may be at a level that you said, I've never experienced this, and I'm struggling in this situation, and you don't understand the pain. But I can promise you that somebody is waking up this morning in a dire situation more than you. So because of that, guess what? We're blessed. Even in the hardest days, we're blessed. And Paul says that if you found yourself blessed, if you found yourself at a point where you can share, you can be generous, you can be rich in good deeds. You can't change the whole world. I love what Mother Teresa told a group of people. She says, you may can't feed 100 people, but guess what? You could feed one. And because you can feed one, then you're blessed. So Paul is helping Timothy to realize that true living is living in an above and beyond life. It's others. You know, not being raised in church, I showed up at a church, and it was a little beach church, storefront church, about 50 people. My first pastor was an incredible man. Now, he was an angry preacher. I don't know if you ever had a little angry preach. Let me tell you something right now. Long-winded preacher. My man would preach a whole series on a Sunday, like the whole series on one Sunday. I mean, that man could preach. He preached forever. He'd say things like, if you don't like it, don't let the back door hit you in the backside. There's 5 people waiting on your seat. Go on and leave. Well, can we invite them in? Because ain't nobody up in here. But 35 of us in here. I mean, you go to church. Wouldn't even make it to lunch. Come on. Go to dinner at like 4:00. Church all day long. Good man, godly man, a confronter. Didn't believe in counseling in an office. Didn't believe in, you know, didn't have an inside voice, only have an outside voice. He would confront you in the foyer of the church. Come on. Just deal with you in the foyer of the church. One day I've been going to church there about 6 months. He called me and said, Dino, come here. Come here, son. About 20 of us in the foyer. It's about 4:30. He says, son, come here. He said, hey, listen, I know God. I told him how I wanted God to use me. I'd had a conversation with how I felt like God was doing some things in my life. He stopped me and he said, listen, you have not understood and you've not embraced the power of generosity. See, he said, no, you're not a giver. And there's people standing around, like could hear it. And he said, no, you're not. He said, you don't tithe. I was like, how you know? He said, I checked the records. Come on, brother, coming for you. He said, you're tipping God, you're not tithing God. He said, there's going to be some things in life you'll never discover if you don't discover it through generosity. He loved me enough to tell me the truth. He knew some things about life that I did not love. He realized that when you take generosity and you mingle it in your life, you will discover freedom. Because you don't find freedom in selfishness. You don't find freedom in holding. You find freedom in living a life with an open hand. And he was teaching me those things. He said, Dino, there's going to be a missionary from China that's going to be here in a few weeks, and I want you to get ready to give. It's going to be your breakthrough moment to be a giver, to care about other people, to live over and above life. And I remember I had gotten paid. My dad was paying me in cash. Come on, to get Italian. Pay me in cash money. And I'd gone to church that Sunday. I'd tithe the first time in my life. I had $400 in my pocket. I gave $40. I gave tithe. I gave a first. I gave a tenth because that's what he was teaching me. And I wanted to do my best to honor God. And he wasn't coerced, and he wasn't being weird about it. He was just trying to help me to discover what it meant to be a believe, what it meant to be a father, how I could be a good husband, how I could lead a small group, how I could live a life of generosity. And then that night I came to church, and I still had that rest of that cash money in my pocket, and I was sitting in church, and this precious lady got up, talked about China's in Bible, how their whole villages that didn't have scripture, there were people that had never read the New Testament. She said, for $10 you can buy a Bible and we will bring it there. We'll make sure that people that don't have scripture, for $10. And I was sitting there and I thought, man, I'm going to do this. I'm breaking free. I'm going to buy one Bible, $10. I'm going for it. I thought about doing a half of one. I don't know if there's anybody who would split one with me, but I'll do a whole one. I could do this. And my pastor, after she spoke, pastor got up and said, we're just going to pray. Again, it wasn't weird, no arm twisting, no guilt. He said, just listen to the Holy Spirit. So all he said, and he began to pray. And as I was sitting in my seat at 19 years old, I heard in my spiritual ear, give it all. Oh, no, 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 no. One Bible. Other people here are so much more blessed than me. One, I kept hearing, give it all. Come on, I thought the devil was in the church. That cannot be God Almighty. As that container came down that aisle, I remember feeling that. Come on, you know that feeling. You know when God speaks to you to go over and above. You know when God speaks to you to buy somebody's meal or to help someone down the street. Come on, Victor, you know what I'm talking about. When you feel that tension, when you feel that battle on the inside to help expand a campus or to lead a small group, when you know God is telling you something and you begin to reason about it. Fear and doubt and unbelief. And as that container came close, I remember reaching in my pocket and taking all those dollar bills. And as it came by, just dropped all those dollar bills in that container. And it went by me. It's like they climbed up on the side of that container. We're going to China. Broke my heart. But here's what I realized. Generosity, when you mingle it with your life, it equals freedom. There's a freedom you find when you begin to live that above and beyond life, and an expanded life and a broadening life. Lord, that it's not about me, myself, and I want to move out of Meville. I want to move into Otherville. I want to move into Weaville. I want to move out of that. Because I'm going to tell you what, the enemy of your soul will make your world small. When God Almighty is wanting to expand your world. So I love about a church like this, he says, let's go launch another campus. Let's go plant another church. Let's do a serve day. Let's not only experience Jesus in the house, let's experience Jesus from the house. Let's do everything we can to live this above and beyond life, because in that we truly find life. In that spot that God wants us to see. He knew some things about that one day I would get married, and one day I'd have to realize some things, and one day I'd have to parent, one day I'd have to leave. I think about all the decisions that I've ever made in my life, and I made some bad decisions, I've made some neutral decisions, but I've made three good decisions. My life, I thought about this the other day. Three good decisions. You sit on panels sometimes as a pastor. They ask you what have been some of the better decisions of your life. And I thought I made three good decisions. The first was when I received Christ, when I said yes to Jesus. Changes everything. Changes the trajectory of your life when you say yes to Christ. And many of you have made that decision. You're going to make that decision today. You've been wondering. You've been trying to figure things out. Second best decision was when I asked my wife to marry me. Who you marry? That's so important. I fell in love with my wife when she was in like with me. But you got to check yourself in that situation. It's no fun saying, I love you, and they say, thank you. It's awesome. I love you so much. Good. Let's Burger King or Taco Bell? Where are we heading? Don't get the ring yet. But finally, I finally, I'll never forget, she was singing at a church, and afterwards I finally said, I'm about to tell you something. She said, I'm about to say something back to you. Oh, yeah, girl, I love you. She said, I love you too. Come on, next thing you knew, she said yes to the dress. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So, you know, that was a big decision. Can I tell you the third best decision I made in my life? When I decided to be a contributor to the local church. My whole life has been changed by it. The trajectory of my family has been changed. My legacy is different. When I decided to support and be a contributor and to come alongside of the local church as we spread the message of Jesus Christ, because we could do more together than I can all by myself. We have a saying down in Louisiana, there's one bayou you don't want to live on, and that's called by yourself. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You don't live on by yourself. A lot of problems on by yourself. You want to live in a place. And so I look at life, and how do you live that over and above life? I wrote down four things. I'm just going to give you these. These are just kind of four ways that you see in Scripture. You see this all throughout the New Testament. They're just condensed. They're just ideas along the idea of living a above and beyond life. And you see this everywhere. The first thing is above and beyond serve. Above and beyond serve. It's interesting that when we see Jesus, he will say this to us, well done, thou good and faithful, what? Servant. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. The greatest in the kingdom is those who serve. Jesus' first miracle was around serving. Jesus is on the cross and he's still serving the broken. I mean, even in John 13, his last night, right before he goes out to die for the sins of humanity, at death, burial, and resurrection, he is washing the feet of the disciples. Why? He's trying to teach his team, hey, there's nothing greater than that of a servant. It's the power of serving. When I was in church and before I went to Bible school, I had a lot of questions. I began to think about the will of God. I began to think about my life and my future. And I would ask a lot of questions. I would sometimes talk to some of the pastors. We had an older pastor in our church at that time who helped our senior pastor. He would stay and lock the church. I would follow him around asking him questions. One time I followed him to his car and I could tell he wanted to leave. But man, I was one of those close talkers and I was all up on it. And he got in his car, which is a signal to, I got to go now. But then, you know, he finally shut his door. Then he rolls his window down. Hint, hint, brother, got to go. I'm still talking to him. He stopped me and he said, Dino, we love you. We're so glad you're here, but you're a lot to deal with. He said, you know what's happened? He said, there are so many things that you're never going to understand when you're spectating. And you will not understand them until you begin to serve. Wow, because guess what? Amen. We've been saved to serve. So there's so many things in that above and beyond life that we will never discover until we begin to serve. The next week I went to my pastor and said, where can I serve? How can I serve in this house? And he put me in the vacuum ministry. That was not even on the personality test. I mean, is that a diss test? What is that? That's where he needed me. I remember for 9 months, I vacuumed the church. You know what started happening? I started loving the house of God. I started having ownership of the house. It started mattering to me. And I'd be in the back and there'd be a mom with a toddler. She'd be eating goldfish all on the carpet. Hey, you got to do something with that. Can't be having goldfish all up in the house. I'd stop people that were using the tithe envelopes as like a gum garage. No. Don't put your candy wrappers. Don't clean your purse out in the tithe envelopes. Put some cash money in the tithe envelopes. I'm trying to help somebody. Here's the second thing is above and beyond invitation. How important that is. I believe there are so many people, they are one invitation away to coming to church. Hey, have an encounter with God. I mean, think about this. Last year, I want you to hear this. Last year, in the invitations that this church gave for people to accept Christ, did you know over 3,500 people received Christ at Victory last year? Come on, that's a place to clap our hands. This is good ground to sow into. Lord, help me to live an inviting life. Help my words and my care and my noticing and the way that I love people and the way that I serve, in the way that I lean in the way that I listen. Help me to live an inviting life. So maybe in a moment that there'll be that opportunity, because God is an inviting God. Jesus is an inviting Savior. Lord, help me to realize there's an above and beyond invitation, that I live the way I live my life. I live my life inviting. That after everything that I've walked through, after my pain and my failures and my mess ups and my good days and my bad days, that, Lord, you could use me to be an invitation to someone broken and hurting. Sign me up for that. Because of all that you've done in my life. Then here's the third thing that we find here. It's, you see it all throughout Scripture over and over again, this theme of life, and that is above and beyond love. Above and beyond love. What a powerful thing that Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13. He says to the Corinthians, who are smart people, who are advanced people, they're developing people. Matter of fact, the mirror that we have, the origination of the mirror came from Corinth. So Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 is talking to the group of people who really came up, who invented the mirror. And he talks to him, he says, you know the best way to do life? It's not in the comparing of yourself. It's not even in the identity of yourself. It's not even in the reflection of yourself. He says, really the only thing you can depend on is what? Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest thing to look in is not the image of yourself or the identity of yourself. Really how you find your image and how you find your identity is in the love of God. Because as you've been loved by him, it gives you the ability to love others. And so it's the above and beyond love. So Lord, help us to have faith, of course. Without faith, it's impossible. Please, God, help us have hope. It's hard to live without hope. But Lord, let us be great in loving others. It's what you did at Serve Day. Loving others, just loving people. Out sharing the love of God. No strings attached. Don't want anything from you. Just want you to have an encounter with the love of God. Hey, plant a new campus. Not because we want anything. We just want you to discover and what? Realize and experience what? The love of God. It's the heartbeat of the house. It's the reasons why your pastors came here. Back in 1993. For people to experience and discover the love of God. Above and beyond love. And then the last thing, and I'll finish with this. It's above and beyond giving. And we've talked about that. I mean, for God so loved the world that he, what, gave. Mother Teresa said, you're never more like God than when you give. Reflection of generosity, giving, giving. It opens doors. It makes a way where there is no way. It's in the generosity of our life. I'll finish with this. There's a show that I used to watch. Boy, I loved it. It's one of those shows we watched every week, my family, because it was a feel-good show. It's called Extreme Home Makeover. Ooh, I love me some Ty Pennington. I mean, I love me some highlights. I love me some choker necklaces. Come on, give me some decorative jeans and flip-flops on the work site. I just love it, love it, love it. Ty show up at a house and have an architect, have a designer, have builders, and he'd just knock on somebody's door, and they'd been through pain. Maybe they were foster care parents. Maybe they were veterans. Maybe they lost a lover. Maybe there was cancer. There was a tragedy, a flood, a situation. They've taken in their sister's kids who died. There's a family, got seven kids there. They're in this home, and there's two bedrooms, and the sink doesn't work. The oven's broke. Ty shows up. They open to know there's Ty. Hey! Woo! I mean, it's 911 at that moment. I mean, it's call the police. Ty's just like, what's up? We're here! And he takes the Lewis family out, and they put them on a shuttle, and they go to Disney World. Whole community shows up. Bulldozers and suppliers and plumbers and carpet layers and designers, and they go into this house that had limitations, a house that was not fit for that family, a house that could not serve, and there was no safety. It was not a sanctuary. It was not a harbor for the children. It was pain, and they're sharing bed, and they go in there and they redesign the whole thing. It's amazing what a community can do when they get together. And we all watch it. We feel good. We love it. We love what's happening midway through the week as they're showing it and they're building it. I love how they show up and the Lewis family is heading in Disney World over to Tomorrowland and they're on the monorail and they got an iPad and Ty shows up. Hey! Woo! And you know, you hear beep, 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 hammering, all these crazy. Can't show you what's going on, but man, you're not going to believe. We'll see you in 3 days. And the dad's like, man, I love that tie. And the mom's like, yes. And the kids are going crazy in the monorail. And you know, and then they the day comes. They've remodeled, and now they're ready for the big reveal. Oh, I love that reveal. Because they get off the plane, they get on the shuttle, they come to the house. They can't see the house because there's a bus in front of the house. And they get them out of the bus and they can't see it. All the communities there, all the people that have given and the contractors and just amazing, all the subcontractors. And Ty's there and he's like, you ready? And, you know, the dad's like, I'm ready, Ty, I'll tell you what. And the mom's like, yes. I love when the woman's like a Christian and the kids are going crazy. It's like, okay, you ready? You ready to see your new home? You ready to see what happened? You ready to see what the makeover? And when they do that, they say, okay, get ready. And they say, okay, everybody, let's y'all move that bus. Come on, come on, Victory. Move that bus. One more time. Move that bus. And they pull the bus off. And when the bus moves, it's this super huge reveal. And there's this house. And it's amazing. There's a yard. And they've done additions to it. They've renovated the whole thing. And the dad's just like, man. And the kids are, wow. And when the woman's a Christian, she's like, glory. She faints. Church nurses come over. It's incredible. Y'all know nothing about it. It's incredible. And they go in this house that they can never provide for themselves. They don't have the money. They don't have the connections. They don't have the relationships. And they walk in. There's like a water slide. There's like llamas in the backyard. LeBron's there making coffee. It's incredible. And we love it. Why do we love it? Because somebody else provides for someone who's gone through a struggle. Let me tell you something. That's the kingdom of God. That is serve day. That is generosity. That is victory. We help people discover the vast love of God that can make over their life. And their life has changed. They live differently. They have a new future. They have a new hope. And ultimately, they meet Jesus, who renovates everything. That's above and beyond. Can I encourage you? Let's be that church. Let's be those people. In Jesus' name. Can I have a good amen? Let's bow our heads. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this house. And Lord, I thank you that you do go in because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Because of your obedience. You said that if any man be in Christ, he's new. Lord, we thank you that you can heal the deepest wound. You can forgive the toughest stain. You fix things that are broken. You restore. You repair. You rebuild. So, Lord, I just pray that that would happen today in people's hearts. Now, Lord, I just pray right now that you'd give every person here that heart to live above and beyond. Maybe you're here right now and you just say, Dino, you know, I feel far from God and I just feel like I need a new beginning. I need a fresh start. Pastor John's going to come in just one moment, help you take that next step, help you make that connection, help you pray that prayer. But Lord, I just pray for every person today. I pray, God, that we will be able to embrace above and beyond all that you have for us in your great love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Would you thank Dino, please? Come on, man. Wasn't that a blast? Woo! Incredible. Would you bow your heads with me, please? And I want to take you just one last moment into God's presence. Because everything that Dino shared today, if you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, I'm not asking if you go to church, if you're religious, if you were baptized as a baby or had sacraments of a church. All of those things are fine. None of those things will harm you, but none of those things will make you a Christian. There is no church, including this one, no sacrament of any church, including this one, no minister, no pastor, no priest, no imam, no anything that can make you right with God. No one other than Jesus. And I want to make certain before we leave today, for those that are here present, those online, if you've never given your life to the one who gave his life for you, then you are the one bearing your own sin and paying your own debt. Here's the reality as we pray in a moment. Our sin will carry a payment and a consequence and a judgment. And that judgment, because of a righteous God, would send you away from his presence forever in a place the Bible refers to as the regions of the damned, called hell. So that's horrible. Yes, it is. But God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. You see, your sin demanded a payment. Mine demanded a payment. You can pay it yourself eternally, or you can receive the free gift of eternal life because this righteous, holy God so loved you is that he came born of a virgin wrapped in human flesh for one purpose, to bear the judgment that was due me. God is so good and so loving, but he's yet so righteous that he judged me guilty. But then he said, I'll come and I'll pay the penalty for you. And then I'll offer you the free gift of eternal life by simply receiving Christ. If you've never received Christ into your heart, or you're not sure, and you'd say, I want to leave here knowing that I've made Jesus the Lord of my life, not religion, not some game, not some turn over a new leaf that will be as dead as your old leaf. But if today you died and stepped into an eternity, are you confident that you've received the sacrifice of Jesus, the payment for your sin? Or are you going to enter eternity carrying it yourself? With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. I want to receive Christ today into my life to be the Savior of my life. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here and you haven't done that or you're not certain, I want to pray for you. I'll pray for you right where you're seated. In a moment, I'll ask you to just simply lift your hand and I'll include you in that prayer. You'll pray it out loud right where you're seated. This isn't about you doing something that will embarrass you or single you out or something heroic. The heroic thing was God sending his son to die on a cross for me and you. So if you're here today and you'd say, I want to be included in that prayer to receive Christ in my life. With every head bowed and every eye closed, simply right where you're seated right now, would you simply acknowledge that before God, where I can see it as well, by simply raising your hand and saying, please include me in that prayer. Do it right now, and I'm going to pray in just a moment. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hand back down. Thank you. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. One last moment as I look around. Your eternity is worth a couple seconds. So I haven't yet raised my hand, Pastor John. Please include me in that prayer. I see you're not going to single anybody out or embarrass anybody. With every head bowed, every eye closed, one last moment. You've not yet raised your hand, say, please include me as well. Just lift your hand where I can see it, and I'll pray for you as well. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Hey, listen, if you raised your hand, or you should have, pray this out loud. Jesus, who came and died on a cross, buried, rose from the dead, and is alive forevermore, will come into your life and your sin debt will be canceled and you will walk with him forever. And when you leave this earth, you'll go into the presence of God. What an amazing thing. What an amazing Savior. If you raised your hand or should have, if you're watching online and this is for you, pray it where you hear it and we'll pray it together with you. But pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name and I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my life. And Jesus, I receive you now to be the Lord and the Savior of my life, saving me from my sin and the eternal consequence. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is wiped away, and I am heaven bound. And Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Amen. Give them a great hand. Best decision of your life.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.